Okay. So we left off yesterday in the middle of the Yerushalmi. I'm going to try to at least finish the Yerushalmi today, maybe not get further, but minimally that. So we were up to dealing with the height question. Rav Zeira, Rav Avdimi de Haifa. Morty? So he said that the height, how high can the Tzuras HaPesach be? So even Me'a Amah, which is pretty high. Okay, there aren't too many things before modern skyscrapers, two buildings that were 100 Amas high. Right. The only one that I know of is the Beis HaMikdash, the Herod's Beis HaMikdash. How big is the Parthenon? Anybody know? Don't look. Please don't look. If you have a phone, don't take it out. Just a reminder for next semester. Okay. Now, so I'm probably not 175 feet high is my guess. I could be wrong, but okay. So he says, even 100 amos. Amar. So what was his statement?
Twenty
amos. In other words, it's one thing for your Tzuras HaPesach when it comes to Kilayim, but by Shabbos there's a limit on the Makor of 20 amos. So is that true by Tzuras HaPesach? I thought it's not actually. Tzuras HaPesach, I thought works. Doesn't it work even above 20 amos? Didn't they talk about that? If you learn it from the Heichal. Wasn't it one of the kashas?
Is it a korah or a...
Not a korah. Well, the point is that they were asking that if you learn the din of amaltara, if you learn from the heichal had an amaltara and it was only 20 amos. So you can ask the very same question. The heichal had, I think they asked, the heichal had a tzuras HaPesach. Okay. So he suggests that now peah is a little worse than a regular tzuras HaPesach. Because a peah is on all four sides. So now he responds and says, right, is there another, never mind, okay. So, Kilayim and Shabbos have the same din. So now the Yerushalmi says, yeah, how can a peah work? And how can a peah work? Why is it different than a korah? Va'asya kihai. The Amar Rabbi Zeira. What does megufefes me'arba ruach hasam mean? It's a big chiddush, but I mean, what does it mean?
Here's a Tzuras HaPesach. What does megufefes mean? He claims that you have to have parts of the wall here, but not 10 tefachim tall. Like gifufim are like things that stick out. Sometimes not always jagged edges, but in other words, kind of pieces that stick out. So he says it has to be megufefes, me'avar u'chusaha. Otherwise, it's no good. Yes, gafef is the translation. I don't know if and how the words are related, but that's what the Pnei Rosh understands gifufim are, which means. And what is a korah used by? A korah is used by the edge of the mavoi, and there you only put the korah on top. You don't need any gifufim here. That's how Pnei Rosh understands this. It's a little odd. I can't imagine, by the way, that din applies by kilayim. That's hard to imagine because applied by kilayim, it would almost defeat the purpose. You're having to build a wall anyway, a mini wall in between. Yes, no?
Well, if you have a mini wall thing on the bottom...
But less than 10 tefachim, it's not a machit.
How can you call that a tzura to pay?
Well, you're asking the fundamental question is why does a tzura to pesach work?
Yeah.
So the answer, so the truth is, if you think about the practice, firstly, if you're interested, there's a long arichus in the Mari Apanim here about the issue of Tzuras HaPesach Ben Atzad, and where the Rambam Shita about parts of Merubah Alamak Omid comes from. That you need Omid Merubah parts. Why our modern day Erevin don't work for the Rambam. But ask the question for us. Why is it that an Erev can work if it's all Tzuras HaPesach around? Noam's asking a very good question. And I think this passage in the Yerushalmi highlights it. Why does it work all the way around? You're making an assumption about Tzuras HaPesach, which is what?
It's a doorway.
You should have said that without moving your fingers. In other words, you said that it's an entryway. And the way we know that it's an entryway and not a break in the wall, not a pirtza, is that this is Tzuras HaPesach. But if that were correct, number one, why would Gifufim should destroy the Tzuras HaPesach? Number two, why would Tzuras HaPesach work all the way around? You know, some houses are more open and some houses are more closed. Some houses have more than one door, some houses have multiple doors. But do you know of any houses that are just doors? That could be a lot of fun at what? No. He had a door in each direction. I know what Avram's tent looked like. I always envisioned it as a kid. Especially it was like a teepee, number one. And on this side, it had a door. It had a door on each side, that's all. Okay? That's all. It's not. It had doors from every direction to indicate it was open to the world. But it wasn't all doors. Imagine building a house. It's gonna be the new architectural rage. You know, avant-garde thing where you build a house where all around the house. I mean, that sukkah, by the way, I described to you. I should. At some point, see, hopefully, I hope I still have the picture. But the sukkah that I spoke about, that $15,000 sukkah, this is what it looked like. Well, maybe, I'm not even sure if it was clearly delineated here, but that's basically what the walls look like all around it. Now, in order for the sukkah to be kshera, what you really needed was, what you need, not needed. Oh, that's pretty good. You get better. Sorry. What you really need is that this piece here has to be 7 fachim by 7 fachim. Then you have the minimum shear stuff.
Right.
But, so that's a nice gazebo. Imagine somebody building a house like that. Right. And these were pretty thick, I think. I mean, this was not like 1 foot. This was like multiple feet. So it was actually, you know, of some substance. But imagine that you build a house where it's literally nothing but doors around. The doors open out or in. I think the doors better open out, or you're going to have problems. Right? Houses, the way we build houses today, generally, doors open in. Yes, Morty.
But the fact that this is what you're using for Kilayim also, would imply that we're not talking about the walls of a house. Meaning, it could be a gazebo, feasibly.
I would argue it's not about a door. Tzuras HaPesach is not about a door. Tzuras HaPesach is about delineating space, dividing space by kilayim. So to avoid the kilayim of Rebuvia, so what you need to do is you need to have a clear dividing line. I would say the same thing, what is it doing on Shabbos? It's dividing Rishuyos. Right? And if it encloses by dividing a certain area, that could be considered a Rishus HaYachid. And the truth is, we wouldn't rely upon this in Rosh Hashanah, actually, which is what's interesting. Like Kalayim, it certainly seems to be a din daraisa, I think. which is why it makes sense to say what by sukkah? What should the din of Tzuras HaPesach all around sukkah be? We discussed this yesterday in Shir, pointed out that according to the three Lashonos, it's absolutely clear. According to the third Lashon, it's not clear. And what was our conclusion? Does Tzuras HaPesach work for Sukkah all the way around, for walls 1 and 2? The answer is probably not. The Ran points out, certainly that according to the first and third Lashonos in the Gemara, that it has to be ein ani teres ela b'tzurasa pesach utzrich anami tzurasa pesach, as opposed to v'ni teres nami b'tzurasa pesach. Not lashon two, but lashon one and three in the Gemara make it clear that a tzurasa pesach only works by that third wall. It doesn't work by any of the other walls. And the truth is, one would argue that it divides areas, but it's not really a wall. It's not a machitza. That's why the Gipufim Nam are better, because that marks even a greater division. But it's not about an entryway. It's not about an entryway. Okay, continue. Amar bi Abba bar Mamel. So let's assume Shebek Krachim. We don't know for sure, but Shebek Krachim. So what does that mean? So these seem to be some kind, and what's the reason why? And this is tricky. I've been reading the way the Karban Aida reads, which is... Go ahead. So it's not entirely clear what this is, but the way the Mefarshim describe it, what is it? It's beams that are sticking out of houses, right? So I assume that what you're dealing with is the following. I have a house, and what would we call this? Look at this. It's an overhang. And it's even possible. So I don't know what it looks like. In other words, I'm going to show you from the side. If this were the house, and this is sticking out from the side, a little bit of a large stick out, large overhang. So the question is, you have the thing sticking out. So it's a little bit larger than it probably would dry if I were trying to scale. So the question is, what's the status? What is here? Is there a board here on the sides also? In other words, you have basically a board, in other words, you have a house, and stuck from a bird's eye view, the walls stick out past the original wall, plus there's a little roof on top. There's an overhang where the sides of the house extend as well.
There's a beam going down, it's just a bigger house.
What?
There's a beam going down, it's not just a roof, it's just a bigger
house. No, because there's a solid wall here.
Okay.
So this is open on the fourth wall. I don't know, because I know that there's beams overhanging. And the question is there a wall down the side? And are there walls on the side or not? That's the question. If there are, what is this? Yes, no?
Don't we say good apes when there's an overhang?
Pitik or Yori Besosim is what you're talking about. So the answer is, well, even if you did, what does the Yushalmi say? Okay, so the Yushalmi is going to later, I'm sorry, it's not for you, ask the question by Sukkah. It says that Peah Ma'ush Tatzil B'Sukkah, and the answer is yes. And then it says Sof Schach Ma'ush Tatzil B'Sukkah. And the Yushalmi says, no. What's the difference? What? Yeah. One was made to be, in effect, a wall. One wasn't. It's just the edge of the Schach. So even if one argues Pitik or Yod B'Sosin, that may only be if you have three walls, and then the fourth wall can be made by the edge of the pitikra. But here, there's a solid wall in between. So you can't say that pitikra is not made to constitute a fourth wall. So that could be what the Yushalmi is talking about. And the reason is because ein sof tikra matzo, because it's not made mishrim peah. It's not made for that. Now, of course, does this remind you of any case that we've dealt with? It's a little bit reminds you. It reminds you of a Havamina that in the Bavli that the Yushalmi seems to accept that the Bavli rejects. Pesal Ayotze Min HaSukkah, the first option, right? First option of Pesal Ayotze Min HaSukkah, if this was your Sukkah, bird's eye view, and then you have a piece that sticks out here, and the wall sticks out, and the Sach sticks out. And Pesal Ayotze Min HaSukkah is Nidon Kesukkah. And the Bavli said there's a Shir Met Hemshech Sukkah here, seventh Vachem. And why is what? That's good. Why would we have thought it's not good? Why would we have thought that it's not good? No.
The middle wall wasn't made for both sukkahs.
But I would say all the walls really weren't made for that outside piece. It was just an extra piece of the wall, hanging out.
And therefore, you would have said it's no good. Kamal Shalom, we don't care because you have a kosher sukkah there. So here, now, of course, the difference between that and this, they might not be the same. Why are they different? Because here, you're relying upon Peah as a sort of a symbolic, wall, as a source of Pesach that's meant to be so same. Right? But here, it requires imagination. There, it doesn't require imagination. There, it's reality. Here, it requires imagination. If the Peah wasn't made, l'shem Peah, you can't use it. The alternative view is to say that it's just an overhang sticking out, but then it means something different. In other words, ein sof tikra matzil means you don't say pi tikra yorid v'sosin. And that would be on three sides, one, two, and three. And again, you could say that the reason why pi tikra is not yorid v'sosin here is because that's not what it's... pi tikra yorid v'sosin is when I look at a bird's eye view on a three-walled house, and here's the edge of the roof, then we say that roof is pi tikra yorid v'sosin. Okay. And note that Pitikar of Yorid Vesosim is interesting because is it good ase? Is it good achis? There's a Rashi that sounds like that, but it's difficult. Why is it difficult to say that it's good achis? And let's say the Pitikar was very tall. Why would you not say good achis? What?
Because we almost never do.
What morning? That's my best goat imitation. Okay. Save that one for the scope. Okay. Doesn't do a very good goat. So bottom line is that, you know, it could be that the Pitikar Yorid V'sosim may be a totally separate thing. It's not entirely clear. Yeah, here?
Didn't we see an earlier Talmud, though, where we do assume Pitikar Yorid V'sosim by Yisham Hulashem?
It's Rabbi Yehuda Shita.
Was Rabbi Yehuda?
I think so.
Okay.
I believe so. Now, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that if you have a roofed area over the Rosh Hasharabim underneath the area, in other words, if you have like houses on two sides and something in between them, underneath, I think he says that it's a Rosh Hashayachid, even though there are only two walls. Okay. So, then Amra Pinchas. So the way the Pnei Moshe read this, but I find it very difficult in the language of the Yerushalmi, was that the previous statement of Abba Bramamel ended at Mnei Shem Sof Tikra, and then the Yerushalmi asked, Ve'ein Sof Tikra Matzal Mishum Peya? And what's missing is Ha'ama Rabbi Pinchas. This really sounds like, the way it's presented, it sounds like a new statement. It sounds like if you put Arba Pitstalios on four Amudim, then you Matzal Talti Mishum Peya. How is that different then? Tetrapali or Shebekrachim? I would say it's simple. There it's made for. You take four poles, four amudim, and you stick something on top. That is the purpose. It was made lakach, as opposed to Sof Tikra. Again, it's very hard to know exactly what's going on.
You're saying the Pshar is the end Sof Tikra
Matzah, the end is Benichusa. Yes. Mipnei Shehein Sof Tikra. Now, it is implied, Sof Tikra doesn't work. So the question is, do you read that as part of the question? When you read it as part of the question, there's a word missing to the next, to the transition. Okay, continue. What do you have? Mahushe? Tatsil, yeah. Tatsil Basuka. So Amar alone. Okay, then they asked. Okay. And Ma Ben Zeh L'Zeh?
So
I have a question. What was this question about? Ma Hu Sheh Tatzil B'Sukkah? Which wall was this about? Seemingly
based on the Babli.
Oh, ouch, I know. In other words, you show me read in a vacuum. Question is part of what does Babli Shah Tatsil mean?
Separate.
It's
So the problem is, what is that language of Tatsil from? Well, that's very clever, but no. You said, what?
I would say Tatsil.
Making
the same
words.
Like shape.
Yeah.
It's coming from Kilayim.
Yes. And it's coming from Kilayim. It's Matsil Mina Isser. It's Matsil is from Nisar Hanok. That's what I think. So I can't prove anything more than therefore from the word. In other words, if it were like a maushatati or maushatatsil and it were a term unique to Sukkah, I would have said, oh, it means it's the third wall for sure. But in the context of the Yushalmi, there's nothing that in the Yushalmi that would suggest that this is dafka the third wall. Right? It really sounds from the Yushalmi that the question is, in other words, what was the din in Shabbos? How many walls does Peah work for? How many sides?
All.
All. Kilayim? It's hard to say by Kilayim. I mean, it could be all, but remember, Kilayim, so here's another point that should be made. Kilayim is fundamentally different than all the other cases, because what are you trying to do in Kilayim? Separate, divide, right? By Shabbos, you're trying to do more than that. Now, you are, in effect, trying to separate, but you're really creating a reshus. At Kilayim, you're not creating a reshus, you're just dividing between two places. Each could retain its previous status, but there's just a wall between them now. By Shabbos and by Sukkah, you're trying to create a walled structure in some way. Which is why it makes more sense, like Rabbi Yochanan's position in theory, why Tzuras HaPesach works by Kilayim and maybe not by Shabbos. And here's another thing, another layer of ambiguity in the Yushalmi. What type of a peah are we talking about here? There are two kinds of peahs. Size-wise, right. In other words, think about for a moment even the Rambam. That was what the discussion began with at the beginning of the Sugya in Yerushalmi, right? Reish Lakish said that Shabbos and Kilayim would be the same. Well, Reish Lakish said it works by Kilayim. And Rabbi Yochanan said no. Like Mechitza Shabbos, so too Mechitza Kilayim. And then Rabbi Zeira said that Reish Lakish is Moda by Shabbos. That you can't have the Tzuras HaPesach be more than 10 Amos. And Rav Chagai tried to prove it from the Mishnah. It's a question whether it was a good proof or not a good proof. It depends exactly what Reish Lakish's Shita was. So when Yushalmi asked the question, Mahu Shatatzel, Pema Shatzel, Basukah, which Tzuras HaPesach are we talking about? The more than 10 Amos or the less than 10 Amos? Let's assume maybe less than 10 Amos. Fine. So, but it's not clear. But even so, it would seem on the heels of the previous discussion that you need three walls or four walls in a sukkah, this could now very well be an open-ended question. Which is, can those walls be Tzuras HaPesach? Remember, for the Yushalmi, it's not entirely clear at all. There's no explicit brisa, let's put it that way, that you require a tefach for the third wall only. Right. We discussed this in the various permutations, how the Yerushalmi got to three and four walls, whether that third or fourth wall really should be shelling. Now, the discussion of the Amoraim, all of them very clearly was what? What did the Amoraim most definitely assume? That the last wall has to be whole or a tefach? A tefach. That was clearly the entire discussion. Right. How do we know that the third wall can be a tefach? Later. Correct. Later they quote it. And that's what Amoraim discussed. Right? So either way, so even Aniach that the Yushalmi knows, certainly Amoraim know about the Tefach, there's nothing that says that this wall has to be a Tzuras HaPesach, only the third wall. So this Yushalmi is ambiguous. It says that a Tzuras HaPesach works in a Sukkah, not so Schach, but it doesn't say for what. Now that could, of course, explain what? What could that ambiguity explain? Come on, you're supposed to jump up and grab it. I'm throwing you a softball. Lob right over the middle of the plate. The ambiguity in the Yushalmi as to what the Tzuras HaPesach is used for here could explain very easily the multiple what? The multiple Lashonis and Rava. In other words, if you think about it, Niteres Nami B'Tzuras HaPesach, could that middle lashon could be read as Tzuras HaPesach works by sukkah to make a wall. So if people typically don't make a sukkah wall of Tzuras HaPesach, why not?
You can get everything out of the
Yeah, it doesn't provide you any protection or shelter. But bottom line is, if you wanted to, you could. And Haraya, the third wall, instead of being a tefa, could be a Tzuras HaPesach. That it is the Teres Nami but Tzuras HaPesach. The other Lashonis and Rava assume that no. That it's Dafka, the third wall, that we're discussing, because Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work anywhere else. And when the Yushalmi said that Tzuras HaPesach is Matzil, it means Dafka in the third wall, not all around. No?
When you were Yushalmi, though, you saw the Shema that thought the third wall was Divrei Sofer.
Well, correct. So and before we got to the Gemara's Braisa, the first Lashon made it clear it was 2+ and 3+. But then they quoted a couple of possible limudim where it really sounded like it was 3 and 4.
But from those limudim, I would argue that you couldn't have a Tzuras HaPesach anyway, because that goes against the very meaning of the pasuk in Yeshayahu.
Well, even for Rabbi Shimon only.
Yeah.
Except for that, not the way the Yushalmi learns it.
The way the Yushalmi learns it, it's just a counting game.
And look, a sukkah that has three walls and is open on the fourth
does provide a good deal of protection. As long as the wind isn't blowing from that fourth direction and it's raining, you're okay.
Well, what about if you have a Tzuras HaPesach on all the walls?
Correct. For that, as I said, I think I said yesterday in Shiur, or something equivalent, you have to be a brisker for that sukkah. It wouldn't matter if it's snowing on you. I am protected by the walls as the brisker turns into a snowman. Okay? There he is. He's frozen, but it is beautiful. I'm not mitzvah because there are walls around me and I am protected. Okay. That's not really brisker. That's halachic reality versus real reality. We have such concepts in halacha. Okay. So anyway. Okay. So that remains a question. What is the role of the Tzuras HaPesach in a sukkah? And now, the last part of the, you know what? Okay, we'll read the Yushalmi and Eruv in here. I think that it's now on to the divisions, but it's so difficult to read. Okay, it starts from Le'inyan Kilayim. Nimtzei Somer, right? That's what we're up to?
What's the
last? Hold on. I'm sorry, go ahead. What is that term, misev umitan? Yes, you know how it comes to that? It's an interesting usage. No, I understand. But misev umitan, we understand masa. How does misev get to be masa? No, I mean, what's the
third version here?
What?
The third version is
what does it say?
Misev.
What's the last letter in the first word? Yeah, I know. Misav. What does that mean? So what is the word? So the word nasa in the Targum normally is nital. Okay? However, when it comes to marrying, what is the word nasa? Nasa? Misav. Like lakach. So nosei isha is lemisav itita. So that's where it comes from. It's masa umatan. Okay. So, but paskin yichas v'shalom, and then ma'im sukkah kala. Okay, so you can't rely upon all these fancy things when it comes to sukkah and kava chomer for Shabbos. Okay, we do on Shabbos.
Right, okay.
There is a Ramah, I have to find it, I mean, it's not hard to find. There is a Ramah who says that, I don't know what exactly he says you do in a sukkah. He's supposed to have three full walls because this is all theoretical. That's how the Rambam presents it. So I don't know if he quotes this Yushalmi, but this Yushalmi provides support for that. But ironically, we are Mekel when it comes to an Eruv. Maybe we're not Mekel L'chatchila when it comes to a Sukkah. Okay, and finally, what does this mean? Not clear at all. So apparently, Esav Zeru, who's the sheet that holds that peah as matzelas? I don't know if it means by kilayim or by Shabbos. So he says, is it not Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri? The Pnei Moshe reads, yep, it is. Amar lehadatan, correct, and he's a das yachid.
I don't know. So the way the Karban Ha'edah explains this, and it doesn't work terribly well, is that Hadat Tana refers to the next part, which is not found here in Eruvin and Halacha Tes, but the next part as I have printed on the sheet, which is Halacha Ches in the Yerushalmi. It's very odd that whoever broke up the Yerushalmi and took the Sugya and split it up this way did not assume that the next part that you have in front of you is directly connected to what came before it. Right? The way the Karban is reading is Man Tana Pe'a Matzelas, Lo Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, Amar Lei, no, not Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, but Hadat Tana, who is more machmir by Shabbos than by Kilayim. That's the sheet that says that Pe'a is not Matzelas, that Pe'a is only Matzelas by Kilayim, not by Shabbos. All right, it's difficult. So now let's read that last part. Let's try to.
Morning, and I think maybe that the Yom Kippur morning is again seems to be coming up in the Levisa application of
Wait.
He's the one who.
No, he's the one who's going around and sticking the Dokranim in the ground.
Yeah. So he's the one who's Levisa saying these things, and not just Master Matane these things.
Okay, fine. So then the answer is Ben Hadatana, he is the one, or something like that. Okay, like the Pnei Moshe. Okay. Now, let's just do very quickly the following. Nimtes Ata Omer. Nimtes Omer. So this is a little bit tricky. It sounds like if I have, let's say, a wall set up in such a way where the gaps are less than 3 tvachim, it's all solid. If the gaps are from 3 to 4 tvachim, and I might add, let's say, the walls in between are not, in other words, let's say the gap is, the walls themselves, the solid pieces, are not arba'ah yet, right? It's mishlosha vi'ad arba'ah, but not including arba'ah. And the gaps are mishlosha vi'ad arba'ah. So then the din is, Ima omeid rab ala parutz, it's mutav. Rab parutz rab ala omeid is osur. What is osur? The plant and where? So the answer is keneged anything. Nowhere can you plant on the other side of the mechitza. There is another girsa that Pnei Moshe says that has that, but the way we have the girsa. One second. Well, so, no, it's not the same thing, but it looks to be almost the same. But the Pnei Moshe says that in the Tosefta it's made explicit that Keneged, in this case, when the gaps are between 3 and 4 Tvachim, and the solid is between 3 and 4 Tvachim, you cannot plant Keneged HaOmed. Whereas, the next case is Me Arba'ah. Ima Omed. All right, so when the gaps and the solids are between 4 tvachim, including 4 tvachim, up to, but not including 10 amos, so then if the majority of the area is walled in, so then you can, then the entire thing is solid. If, however, and you can plant anywhere. If, however, it is parutz merubala ome, then you're allowed to plant by the where the wall is, you're not allowed to plant otherwise. Why should that be? Number one, why should that be the din? If you don't have a solid mechitza between the fields, why should that be? Yeah,
Ear? Because you did. You
well, for those small parts, it's a mechitza. So, connected the parts where there's a wall, you can plant on the other side of the wall. It's not going to be true legabe Shabbos. Shabbos is a different cheshbon. But why then, if I have gaps and solids between 3 and 4 tefachim, why can't I plant on the other side of the wall? And the nusach of the Tosefta that the Pnei Moshe quotes that says that when more machmil by me gimel we add our ba'ah. See, from gimel, from three or more, up until not including, I think not including, 10 amos, the rule is that if you have omeid meruba ala parutz and no gap is larger than 10 amos, or no 10 amos are larger,
then you're allowed to plant everywhere. So now that the sizes get smaller, apparently if all the solids and openings are between 3 and 4 tefachim, if the poritz is merubah la'omed, I'm not allowed to plant at all. If, however, you have something between 4 tzvachim and 10 amos, then you're allowed, even though poritz merubah la'omed, you're allowed to plant keneged the wall, at least. What's the difference between the two? Why are we machmir when the gaps are smaller? Morty.
Maybe it looks like you did it with dafka. Like,
no, because that's not the issue here.
Because you don't have walls.
Yeah, a wall has to be at least dalat tefachim. That's the assumption. To be a makom chashuv, to say that there's a wall dividing between this place and that place, it needs to be 4 tefachim. If it's 3.5 tefachim wide, so then it's not a wall. Thus, it's not mafsik. It's nothing. It's not a makom chashuv. That's probably the simplest way to understand this. Okay, and then finally, Yoser Me'aser. Right, in other words, once the gaps are bigger than 10 amos, what's the story with your wall? It is not one wall anymore. So even though you're allowed to plant keneged the omeid, because that's where you have a solid wall. But you're not allowed to plant in the gaps, because the gaps are more than 10, there's a gap more than 10 amos wide, and therefore it doesn't constitute one long mechitza. You can't say that the 10 amos gap is a Pesach. However, legabe Shabbos, go ahead, Avolin in Shabbos. Right, and there's no heter here of what? Here it's clear from 3 tvachim up until 10 amos has the same din. If in the perimeter it's all omeid merubah la'paretz, it's great. If not, you're not allowed to carry anywhere. Why can't you carry keneged the omeid? You don't have an enclosure. It's not enough to have a hefsek between the two fields. You actually have to have an enclosure. And if the gaps are, if you have paretz merubah la'omeid, it's not an enclosed area, period. Even keneged the parts. Imagine I could say this part of the Rosh Hashanah you can carry and this part you can't carry. No. You define what the area is. If you don't have enough wallage, excuse the word, around the area, it's not called the Rosh Hashanah for tilto purposes. Once you get omein rubala parts and the gaps are no more than 10, not 10 amos or more, so then you're fine. And finally, once you have a gap more than 10 amos, the entire area is asur, even if it's mostly enclosed. Why? Because that's a pirtza. And once it's nifritza, lamakom ha'asurla, the entire area is asur. Okay. So, Rav Hanani, this is the only hard part here. Rav Hanania. Okay, so what exactly does this line mean? It sounds like he's explaining why on Shabbos it's worse when the gaps and solids are between 3 and 4 tefachim, but not as large as 4. Why? Because there's a pirtz of gimel, but there's no makom arba. No, not on Shabbos, but by kelayim. There's a pirtz of gimel, so the two fields are broken into one another. They're open to one another. But there's and it's omeid, it's parts moved by the omeid, and you don't have dalet tefachim, which is a makom, to be masik at least keneged the wall. And that's why the entire thing would be aser, even though once the wall gets to be dalet tefachim, then we're more mekel. Keneged omeid at least will be mutter, even though it's parts moved by the omeid. So now, heisiv Rabbi Mana. So he kind of missed the point there. He said, you're allowed to be makif bakanim, which means I can put a pole here. Here, this is useful today. Right. I can put a pole here. Imagine these are very thin. And a pole here, and a pole here, and so on and so forth. Right? None of these are 4 tefachim wide. Why is this good? So the answer is, you can see from the Ryochanan statement, the focus has to be on the Ishkan Pirtza Gimel. And he says, okay. So don't ask me kashas from less than three. Less than three, it doesn't matter how narrow the kanim are. That's lavad, it's all solid. What? A little pole could be a reed, it doesn't have to be. Could be a bamboo or whatever, you know, thin bamboo thing. And then finally, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Meshem Rav. Okay, what does that mean? I think it means the following. It means, even though we said that if you don't have a mechitza of dalet fachem in one place, even though we said it's not matir kenegdo, that's dafka when it's poritz merub al omed. Once you have omed merub al poritz in the perimeter, and no gap is more than 10 amos, then what's the din? The entire thing is considered solid. So even if, let's say you have the following. Going all the way around your enclosure, you have a gap of 3 tfachim, and you have a solid of 3.5 tfachim, around and around and around. So what do you wind up with? What is the relationship of omed and parutz in this case? Omed is merub al parutz, it's mutter. Even though you have pirtzis of more than gimel, or gimel or more, and you don't have a makam dal, it doesn't matter, because since it's omed merub al parutz, it's considered kasasim. It's considered acceptable. Okay, so that's the end of this. And then there's one more Yerushalmi to deal with, which is the one in Sukkah. So I added it at the bottom of yours, in both versions. I added it at the end of the Sukkah thing. It's not paralleled anywhere else. It's certainly not in the Yerushalmi. And what does the Yerushalmi say? Ooh, you recognize the sugya, right? Pesal ayotzei min hasukkah is nidon kisukkah. So the question, of course, is, so what did the Bavli have about pesal ayotzei min hasukkah? We had two tzuros that we discussed. What were the two tzuros? I just drew one on the board. That's the first suggestion of the Bavli. And they say, that's good, because you would have thought it's no good because the walls weren't made for that kamashmal, and it's good. Okay. What's the second thing that we spent a lot of time discussing? What's the second Pesach that says in a Sukkah? So one, we explained it as one dofen extends past the other dofen. In other words, you have a Sukkah like this. And then you have Schach that, let's say, covers this as well. And we said that then probably this area is considered Pesal Yotzeh Min HaSukkah. Now, one of the issues that we didn't deal with here, but we did sort of deal with in our sugya, was in Daf Daled, was this. Right? In other words, the walls are here and they end here, but the peso sticks out the front. So
what is the peso? It's pieces of
sah. Yeah. So less goren, so less yakut. Peso la yotzei min hasukkah. So what did we say for that? Morty?
Rashi thought that was fine and most of the other versions.
So we don't know for sure, by the way. We don't know for sure what the other Rishonim would say, because where did Rashi think it was fine? Rashi thought that when the Pesel Ayotzei Min HaSukkah was above 20 Amos, off the Itzdaba, that's where Rashi said it was fine. And that's where the Ran disagreed with Rashi. But it's possible that if, in fact, the Schach were lower, even the Ran would agree. Except for that the Ran says, we're never Matel Pesel Ayotzei Min HaSukkah, except the way the Gemara describes it. Okay, but consider that possibility. So now what does the Yerushalmi say? So that's very interesting. What does it mean, al p'nei kula? What would you say? So I guess the simplest reading... The simplest reading is that it sticks out in front of the entire sukkah. You can't have it sticking out partially.
it's got to stick out over the entire area. Why would that be? In other words, this is no good. That would be no good. Why would that be no good? Yeah. That's right. The assumption might be that the schach is pulling the walls with it. And therefore, if the schach is al panei kula, it pulls both walls with it, and you have schach with two walls, and you count the inner third wall as well. If the schach is only on part of it, there's no wall to pull, and it's basically an area with one wall, or two walls, but not three. That would be the easiest way of reading the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yaakov?
What?
How
is it similar when we call it silv schach, which doesn't work?
No, silv schach doesn't work to form a machitza that you say, in other words, silv schach would be the following. I have two walls, and I have schach covering the ostensible square, and I want to know whether the sof schach on one end, if it comes out smoothly, it's not jagged, right? I evened it out, whether that can constitute the third mechitza. Here you have three mechitzas. You just want to extend the area of the sukkah by saying the schach comes out, so the walls come out as well. So now, the Yerushalmi continues. So they say, Vafilu keneged adofen. So what does that mean? Here, this is a little bit tricky. Yeah, what does it mean? So one possibility, I guess. I mean, again, I'm going to wonder, is the Bavli reading it this way? Are the Amorim and Bavli reading it this way? Although it's Amorim, it's not, well, it's Rava here also. So Morty's suggesting that Afilu Keneged Hadofen means on the back side of the Sukkah, like the first sheet in the Bavli. Afilu Keneged Hadofen. In other words, which Dofen is it talking about? If you have A, B, and C, the way you're reading, I don't know if it's right or not, but I have no idea. If it's A, B, and C, which dofen?
He says shalok and I get a dofen.
If it's shalok, what?
The statement is bafilu shalok and I get
a dofen. Okay, so what?
There are two different statements. One says one and the other.
There are two lashonos.
Oh, okay, fine. So can I get a dofen means by C.
C, so you're suggesting it means that.
Yeah.
And that's like, it doesn't talk about a size, but, you know, as the Bavli asks, but is it long enough? Is it enough schach? So you're saying it could be that. Okay, this is all guessing because there's not clean Yerushalmi. And then somebody, Rabbi Acha Bar Acha, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yochanan, B'Shem HaBoshaya says what? Right. Aldate. So there's a difference between Rabbi Yossi, or probably Rabbi Asi, and Rabbi Chiya. In the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So, Aldate de Rabbi Yose.
Aldate de Rabbi Yose. Aldate de Rabbi Yabar. Mahikaltaba.
Now, the way the carbon reads, the period ends here, and I think that's correct. How meikal are you? So, what is Shaloka Neged Adofen then? So, let me propose another. Suggestion. It might work better. Let's say the following. Not here. Nothing to do with this. Let's say this is considered Keneged Dofen. But let's say when I have my Pesel Ayotzim and a Sukkah, I have this as well. So the question is, these areas, which are under the connected Tzchach, are they good or not? I might argue that this is called Keneged Hadofen. And these are called Shalok Kenega. Which is a bigger kula? Big time.
And so that's what he said, that according to Rav Chiya, Mahi Kaltaba, how much were you making? Wow.
Right? Because after all, how many mechitzas do you have there?
One
or not, one at most. Right. In other words, if you consider the Hemshech HaMechitza, then, right? So that's... But this is I think the simplest reading in the Yerushalmi. Al Panei Kula means the way we explained. It's got to cover the entire area so you can view the mechitzas as coming out. And then, and he says,
Vafilu keneged hadofen. The only question is, why is there afilu there? Unless that's the pay. Well, right. I don't know. It's very hard. Okay. So if you're going to, again, the problem is that we have no raya as to what any of this means. You can read this however you want it. I'm not sure how the Bavli interfaces with it. Bavli that we looked at later in the parak. The last piece is perhaps a little more straightforward, which is psula. What is this quoting? The Mishnah. The last part in the Mishnah. The last psula in the Mishnah Aleph ish chamasa meruva mitzilasa. Ha. Yeah, there is a parallel sugi here. I didn't look at it in the second parak in Sukkah. Ha mechza lemechza ksheira. So that, okay, applies 50-50 is good. And then, what does, I actually know what the sugya says there. Now, what does the Yushalmi say? So what is a sukkah medovleles? It means the schach is not all in line with one another. In other words, some is higher, some is lower. And in that case, if you have tzilasa merubi hamasas ksheira, what does that imply? What does that imply? That tzilasim rechamas is shared by sukkah medvalalas? Mechzal mechzal is no good. So the Yerushalmi says, hacharam akshera, v'hacharam ar psula. So the answer is, lefsoa lefasea. So the way the Mefarshim read this is that it's talking about a certain kind of schach that is likely to sort of come apart and concentrate itself in more areas, and you'll wind up with chamasa u'mitzilasa. And in that context, we are gozer, and we say that mechtal mechtas no good. But if you're dealing with schach that can happen with, right, that can sort of spread and bunch up and so on, so then it would be good if we're mechza mechza. That's not the answer that the Bavli gives exactly, but we're not going to deal with that for now. So that's not our, I'm not going to deal with this issue right now, chamasa merubah mitzilasa. Okay, so that's the end of the Yerushalmi. So the major piece for our sugya that I'm interested in on this last part is the nature of the question of Tzuras HaPesach by Sukkah. So as we learned already, Rava, yesterday, but we're going to spend a few more minutes now and a little time tomorrow on it, or maybe time tomorrow on it, give you a chance to prepare. So the question is, what is the din of Tzuras HaPesach when it comes to Sukkah? And just to review the questions I want you to think about as you're going through the Rif and the Ran. So please do that for tomorrow. You have the Makaros as a little Ritva, which is in the three Lashonas of Rava. If you have chance, by the way, you can also look, the person who articulates it most clearly is the Baal Hamor, at the end. What is the relationship between Lishna, Tinyana Lishna Tlisa, second and third Lashonas, and the first Lashon? And then, what is this particular discussion of Rava going on? On the first Sugya, where you have two Mechitzos Kilchasan, or on the Sukkah Asuya Kamavui? And what is the relationship also between Rava Shita and the third wall being a Tefach? Okay, that, if you read the Rif carefully, the Ran has to come in and try to reread the Rif, maybe he's right, to avoid a possible crazy conclusion that we've spoken about. In other words, does the first Lashon of Rava believe that Tefach has any relevance? Shlisha Safilu Tefach, so that you have to figure out. So those are the things that you should be looking at for tomorrow. So if everybody, we are caught up where we're starting in Shir in the Makoros. Tomorrow you should start going through the Rif and the Ran. I added a bonus Ran at the end where he reviews the issue of Tzuras HaPesach Ben Atzad. I mentioned that in Shir yesterday, the Rif and the Rambam Shita. So you can do that as well if you have the time. Right. Any questions?